When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Oblong Ball Foot Show. My name is PC Tunney, and I lied to you last week. That was not the last time I was going to say that show title. We are back, and I am joined by a man you can follow at IWC Warchief. That's Andrew Blaz. Ray Cash, you can follow him at It's Ray Cash. R-E-Y as in Mysterio, C-A-S-H as in dollars, on social media, but Ray Cash out on assignment this week, aka being a good dad. Andrew, how the hell are you?
Oh, we were actually being nice and not facetious about where Ray was. I thought you were going to make some kind of joke about he's mourning with Lamar that he didn't get the MVP because he's too angry to show up to, you know, rant about it.
That sounds like something we used to do. That sounds like someone, that sounds like something someone used to do on an old show.
No. If it was that other person, he would have also brought in anal bleaching somehow.
Right. Well, that's kind of, yeah, that's where my head went to right away. Not anal bleaching, but the fact that, you know, that guy went right there.
To anal bleaching. No, that's perfect. This is how we kick off the final, potentially final
episode. Because I went to the salon with her, and I got my asshole bleached, too! And I love my new asshole!
Yeah, same topic,
exactly.
Same soundbite.
Mm-hmm.
Never gets old. Always hilarious.
We haven't done it in a while. That's why it's still funny.
All right. Yeah, see, you
got to put space in the callbacks.
Yeah, I agree. I like it. Good call. Well, we have a Super Bowl champion, and it's not a three-peat. It is not a legacy definer for the Chiefs, although their legacy is pretty well set in place in the history of the NFL. They're only adding to
it
now.
Not like they're suddenly bad.
Exactly. But kudos to the Philadelphia Eagles, who went out and did exactly what I said they were going to do. I told you guys 10 days before the game even happened to listen to us last week, and I'd tell you why not only Philadelphia was going to win, but dominate the game. And on last week's episode, I said before the fourth quarter, this won't even be a game, and it was 27-0. Like, the whole game really wasn't a game. It was just an unbelievable. And this is why I wish Ray was here. The payout last week, he I don't know how he sided with Kansas City on so many of those defensive coin picks, because I knew Philadelphia was the best defense the entire year, and they did exactly what they've been doing all year. They shut teams down by making pressure on the quarterback without blitzing, and they were able to shut down fucking Saquon Barkley. But kudos to the guy I should have listened to, Tim Murray, who's on VSiN out in Vegas. He's also our sports guy here for our local radio morning show. He got a tip on a +850 bet, Jalen Hurts' longest rush of the game.
Good for him.
Right. So, I know you picked the Chiefs, in part because it was fulfilling your prophecy and you like to fulfill your prophecies. How surprised were you by the outcome of the game, though?
Oh, none. I just don't care. You know how you hate Minnesota? I hate Philadelphia. to, and I mean the city, I mean the people, I mean every team, I mean everything about it. I wish nothing but pain and misery upon that entire city. It is a cesspool. The people are shit. This is why Always Sunny in Philadelphia is funny, because that's actually the type of morons that you get just walking down the street. Okay. So I want nothing to ever do with a positive spin on Philly. If I ever pick a Philadelphia team to win something, it's usually because they're just playing a bad team and I don't care about the other team. But I'm never going to ever pick for them. I'm going to find any angle to pick against them humanly possible, because I hate that city and I hate every team. I hate everything that that whole area represents.
So I want to take a sidestep first. And before we talk about what this means for the Chiefs moving forward, how we view Jalen Hurts as a quarterback now, and the Philadelphia Eagles, how they're doing moving forward, I first want to touch on the most important thing that happened Super Bowl evening. After the Super Bowl, outside of a bar, John Rocker and Patrick Mahomes' dad got into an argument. And from what I just saw, Barstool Sports' Dave Portnoy says that they're going to have a fucking fight in April.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes' dad couldn't get arrested again because they lost, so... he had to change it up somehow. Kudos to him.
Here, John Rocker and Patrick Mahomes Sr. are officially fighting each other at Rough and Rowdy on April 18th.
Gonna be a better fight than Tyson and Paul. So
dude, if you haven't seen this clip of them arguing outside the bar, watch it. John Rocker looks like he's been fucking, you know, trying to make the mid-1990s WWE roster. That's what he looks like.
Wait, John Rocker is jacked?
Dude, you need to go find it. Go find it. I'm
yeah,
telling
well,
you.
We're on the computers right now. Yeah, I know. I get it. I don't ever think of John Rocker as ever getting jacked.
Go ahead, people. If you're not driving a car right now, go look it up.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, you see it?
Holy, what? No, that is that really? Oh
yeah,
my
I'm watching
God,
it. I'm watching it right
holy
now.
Holy shit.
He's gigantic. Yeah, I'm watching it right now. He tried to be cool.
He tried to be. The stare down initially. Well, I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he's gigantic. He would kill Pat Mahomes. So
yeah,
the funny thing is John Rocker comes out to be nice to him at first, and then Pat Mahomes looks like he's being a dick to him, and Pat Mahomes is acting like he wants some, but he don't want none. I mean, John Rocker moves like he's a fucking caveman, man. What he like, you know, you see his movements there, dude. He'd destroy him in that fight.
Dude, Rocker is going to beat the fuck out of him. This is great.
This fight'll never happen.
That should happen. Well, if the money's right, anything will happen.
I suppose. Yeah. We did have that Tyson and Logan or Jake Paul debacle.
Exactly. And, you know, Rocker knows the game. So, he might let Senior get a couple shots in before completely decimating him.
Let's get our Super Bowl opinions out of the way so we can get into more fun stuff. And I really like where we're going to be going here in the future, folks. So
you're not going to get a real opinion out of me.
No.
Anything with Philadelphia needs to just shut the fuck up and get in the toilet. The fact that they set the place on fire when they win, they lose,
that's not where I
when they
talk
draw,
about.
I hate the place.
I want to stay there for one second, and I want you to be a responsible football journalist that you are.
Why would I start now?
In your, like, take away the Philly feelings, right? I get it. What do you think of Jalen Hurts as on what level in the NFL as a quarterback now? Because to me, like, he went out there and in the biggest game of his life against a team that was looking to three-peat, they said he couldn't throw the ball, and they made him throw the ball, and when it came down to it, he executed. I know he had the one interception, but they couldn't blitz him because he'd just run out there and take a nice slide, pick up the first down, and to hit Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown for touchdowns and some other big completions on third downs. I look at him, I thought he was in the upper echelon, like top third plus, but now he's easily one of the quarterbacks, a handful of quarterbacks that I'd want to have. I'd put him in the top seven or eight now at least.
He might crack the top 10 for me now. because I still can't give him complete credit because their offensive line is the best line in football. And you know that from how Saquon runs. And Saquon being such a big target, even if they wanted to go after Jalen, they still have to keep Saquon in the periphery. They can't ever ignore him if he's on the field.
Right.
So even if they use him as a decoy, kind of like the whole Lamar and Derrick Henry situation. Like, one makes the other one better in a way. So I think he might be number 10. I'll give him 10. I like the top third because I still don't – I don't trust him completely. He has too many games where he doesn't show up, too many games where he's barely even there and just manages it because they're already ahead or nothing's really going on. So, and did this, you know, he had the longest run. He had, he looked fairly good, but like they were also just blowing him out. It's easy to look good in a blowout. You know what I mean? So, no,
but he did.
I'm not going to crown him exactly when it comes to like top three or four or five, but he's, I'll tentatively say 10th.
Okay. Let's go to the other side of it, because a lot of people are saying, and I'm not saying I'm one of them, but that this could be the beginning of the end where maybe the Chiefs don't even make it to another Super Bowl. You know, the last time they lost the Super Bowl, Andy Reid and Travis Kelce and Chris Jones were a lot younger men. You know, we're getting to the end of these guys' careers, right? I know Patrick Mahomes has a lot of time left, especially if he continues to be as healthy as he's been.
Mm-hmm.
To miss out on being the only player to ever win four Super Bowls before you turn 30, that's a rough one. To miss out on being the first guy to win three is a rough one. If anybody won't have a hangover from this, it would be a guy like Patrick Mahomes. Because you know how we used to think like Russell Wilson is fake and all the positivity bullshit that he used to put out? I think I feel the opposite.
Used to think?
No, no, but you know what? I'm just making an example of a certain time.
Right? I mean,
you can
I still think that way, but
that's
continue.
Fine. I don't think that in Patrick Mahomes. I think Patrick Mahomes is exactly who he is, right? He's just no bullshit kind of guy, right? He's had a lot of success, so he doesn't really have that much to be mad about.
But that doesn't mean that they won't still tailspin a little bit. Like, I agree with the concept that this could be a lull for the Chiefs, because look at the Patriots. The Patriots had a very, very similar path, where they won, what, 3 in 4 years, and then they made a couple sporadically over the next couple years and lost to the, you know, the Giants when they should have won the games, and they didn't actually win another one for 10 years after their third one. So
that's a great
point. I think we're looking at that situation with the Chiefs, where they'll rebuild eventually, but who takes over after Andy? Who, you know, steps up after Kelce retires?
The Kelce retiring thing is kind of like, you know, losing a Brewski and a Vrabel and, you know, like a Moss and moving on to other people, I think. I don't think it's necessarily like, a, you know, you got to have your Gronkowski or whatever. I know he's like a Gronkowski. No one really compares to him other than Gronkowski, in my opinion, as far as just overall numbers in regular season and playoffs. But
you know how you like to say that the Packers have had like fucking 30, 40 years of quarterback excellence? The Chiefs have had, what, 25, 30 years of tight end excellence, because they went from Gonzalez to Kelce.
Sure.
So
as
long as whoever's, you know, the lady in waiting or the understudy of Kelce steps up, we'll be fine.
The Green Bay Packer excellence, you know, thing continuing, it really needs to have an uptick next year, because this is not a great quarterback year for them, but there were injuries across the board. So anyway, we're not here to talk about that.
You said it.
We're trying to talk
about
it. Yeah. But my more pending thing was Belichick stayed that whole time. Do you think Reed's going to make it to the end of Patrick Mahomes' career? Because I don't fucking think so.
No, I feel like if they won the Super Bowl, he would have retired on top. Because there were rumors of him retiring this year. So I feel like we could have seen Kelce and Reed both retire if they won. The fact that they didn't win, I think that's what lends the question marks.
So the only real, like, close situation to something like this, and it's not exactly, but it's close, is the Packers win the Super Bowl in 1997 after the 1996 season, right?
Yeah.
Next year they go 13-3. They're marching. They're like more than a touchdown favorite in the Super Bowl against the Broncos. And though they only lose by a touchdown, the Broncos really dominated our number one NFL defense that day. Mm-hmm. Everybody stayed together for one more year. Reggie White, Santana Dotson, most of the offense, Mike Holmgren. But that next year when they lost in the first game, I think it was the San Francisco. Maybe it was the second. Shouldn't have lost anyway. Jerry Rice fumbled. Instant replay would have changed that game. That's when everybody else left. They waited one more after the loss, and then when it didn't happen, they left. So it's interesting to see what will happen next year, though, for the Chiefs, in my opinion.
Oh, I agree, because it's – I guess it's – well, let's see. The Packers are a perfect example. I guess it's also a little bit like, if you really look at it, kind of like the Dolphins, because wasn't Shula still the coach when Marino went to his only one?
Yeah, but that team wasn't as good for a period of time and have as many Hall of Famers.
They had previous success with Greasy and all that, and then they went to one more and never got back there, and then Shula kind of slowly started to peel off. And
well, he was there for a while.
So that's different.
He was there till the mid-90s, I thought, though, so he was there for a bit.
For another 10 years, yeah. So, like, I'm trying to just think. Like, I think your Packers one is probably the best example. Because Belichick stuck through even with the Chiefs with the Patriots losing a couple here or there. Anybody else ever stick? I mean, well, the Bills. They made it four in a row, but they lost four in a row.
Yeah.
And then I guess maybe in a way, like no, because the Cowboys, Jimmy got ousted when they were still kind of on top, and that was a Jerry move, and that's why they missed the next year to three-peat and took a year.
We got the last of our coaching spots filled. The worst kept secret in all of the coaching carousel this year. Kellen Moore is going to New Orleans Saints.
Ew.
No, it's a job.
It's a job.
They are 50 some million dollars over the cap this coming year and $65 million over the cap in 2026. So
the Saints aren't doing anything for the next couple of years. That's good to know.
Where does Aaron Rodgers quarterback next year? Because the Jets let him go.
Minnesota. It has to happen. He has to complete the cycle. I like your choice of Vegas. I do. But like, I also would prefer the Minnesota joke.
Someone suggested the Giants.
Stop it. No.
Tennessee was also a suggestion where Aaron does own a home and land.
He's not going to play for that shit, team.
You never
Especially
know.
If they draft a quarterback.
They don't have to draft a quarterback then.
They still have Will Levis. And Aaron Rodgers only have a year, maybe.
Whoever signs him is going to believe that he can be a top 10 NFL quarterback for the next 2 years, because that's when he's going to want. It's a 2-year contract. That's it. If there's an option in it, it's a player option for the second year.
Well, true, but the Titans don't have the team around that would actually make it sexy for Rodgers to go down there without them being a top 10 pick.
Who are the teams that he could, like, Minnesota.
The Raiders have pieces.
But let's talk about teams that realistically would be in the market for Aaron Rodgers. Minnesota is not realistically in the market for Aaron Rodgers. They will sign Sam.
The price tag.
They would re-sign Sam Darnold before they would even consider Aaron Rodgers. Plus, I think they want J.J. McCarthy. I think they're going to keep Daniel. Excuse me. I think they're going to. I haven't drank enough yet, and my food's still digesting. We need to get more.
Or you
alcohol
drank too
in there
much.
I don't know. I'm not barely at all. I've been talking too much.
You could be like the hiccupy burpy bitch after you drink too much. You never know. There's always that type.
I'm still waiting for that day you can slap somebody in Skype, man.
I'm surprised there hasn't been that addition to, like, the reactions.
Yeah, you just put it there. It comes across there. You know, it brings your face out. Then a hand just comes in. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Well, here, let's pull up the teams and talk about this real quick. It'll be easier and quicker if go ahead and grab it and we go division by division.
Could end up in Miami. Let's think about teams of pieces that could use possibly a quarterback.
Let's go. You want to
start? Tua is a question mark. Okay. So I think Miami is a maybe.
Well, let's go in some semblance of order here. You want to start in the AFC East? That's easy. Okay. The Bills are a no Jets are obviously a no. Patriots are a no. So the only team in that division would be the Dolphins if they're willing to move on from Tua. I don't think they are.
Or even if they're not willing to move on with Tua, having a good insurance policy.
He's not going to back up anywhere. He signed somewhere. He's automatic starter. There's no question about it. There's no competition. He's not going. He's not going to back up. He's not going to competition. He's not. He's a four-time MVP whose numbers passing were the same as the MVP of the leagues last year.
So then let's go to AFC North next. The only one I could really put there would be the Steelers.
That's interesting. What about the Browns?
The Browns have no team. Miles Garrett wants out. Nick Chubb's out. Who the fuck do they have?
Would Miles Garrett change his mind if they had a quarterback in there? I don't know.
Did you see the way Aaron Rodgers played this year?
Yeah, he had the same passing numbers as Josh Allen.
Raw passer numbers? Yes, you are correct. The rest of the intangibles and the rushing aspect? No.
What's that? You cut out after what you said I was right about. What was that?
You shut the fuck up.
Let's move to the AFC South. The Texans are a no. The Colts? I think the Jaguars are sticking with where they're at. I think Colts and Titans. I do believe Colts is on Rodgers' list of teams he would play for.
Is Jose Fleco going to be staying or going? I know he didn't have exactly wonderful things to say, but him and Richardson seem to have a little bit of rapport together.
I would imagine you'd much rather have Rodgers than Flacco.
I would rather have Rodgers than Flacco or Richardson, but they're not going to go away from Richardson so soon because he's still young and he's got that rookie contract, so...
I mean, Aaron Rodgers ain't going to be garnering that much money next year.
And if we're being funny, because I know I will, because, you know, that's just what I like to do, that would give him an easy access to Pat McAfee if he was the Colts quarterback.
Well, who do you think?
If you believe that shit, that the Jets didn't want him on McAfee's show.
Who do you think would help broker that deal, too, right?
McAfee,
all right.
Exactly.
AFC West, Chiefs, no. Chargers, no. Broncos, no. We already talked about the Raiders, right?
Yeah. I think the Raiders are the most reasonable out of that, yeah.
NFC East, Eagles.
Nobody.
Giants.
No.
I mean, the Giants.
The Giants suck.
They have no one, though, but they have no one.
I wouldn't send someone from Philadelphia there.
Okay, I'm just saying it's a possibility.
sure.
The entire...
In the most, literal definition of the word of possibility, yes, I agree with you.
The NFC, the entire NFC North is a no.
Correct.
Bucks, no. Falcons, no. Panthers, no. Saints, maybe if they move on from Derek Carr and you get him for 2 years, $30 million or something. But I think Rodgers is going to be getting at least $20 million. I think somebody signs him 2 years, $40 million.
Yeah, and I don't think Kellen Moore would want to fight with Aaron Rodgers, though. New head coach, old quarterback. I don't think that's a good mix.
Rams are a no. Because Stafford's coming back.
Seahawks are a maybe. Is Geno coming back?
Geno's not that old.
But is he signed is what I'm saying. I don't know what his contract is.
He's not a free
agent.
Because
he didn't do great this year.
He's not a free agent.
But he didn't do well enough to really solidify his spot is what I'm saying.
Cardinals, I don't think so. Niners, I don't think so either. I think Pete Carroll, right, in the Raiders, I think that makes the most sense for him. I think Pete Carroll would love to have someone he doesn't have to start over with right away.
And I honestly, if we're being legit in the takes, I think it's the Raiders, the Steelers, and an outside shot would be the Dolphins and the Vikings. And the reason with the Vikings is because JJ was hurt all year, so he didn't really have a chance to kind of sit there and learn. Because he couldn't do much because he was actually just bang the fuck up.
I put the Colts in there with the Steelers and Raiders.
It would be funny. It would be. I don't know how legit that is and how much that's just fantasy booking because of McAfee's influence and trying to get, Rodgers down to Indy. But
don't throw out
it's possible.
Don't throw out the Titans, man. I'm telling you.
The Titans suck. Titans have nothing. The Titans are just bad. Left and right bad. I don't even know how they won, what, two or three games this year? However many they won. They won more games than I gave them credit for. Cause
they won one more than they should have and took themselves out of having the number one overall pick.
They won two more than I thought they would. And the fact that I don't remember if they won two or three, that tells you enough right there.
Do you want to talk pop culture and entertainment? Or do you want to talk wrestling?
Whichever, surprise me.
I got tickets. Myself, DP, DP's lady, the Dillinator, we like to call her, and Aesop, the four of us, are going to see Captain America this Saturday afternoon in Screen X. The early reviews are not great. I think it's like 54% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Doesn't surprise me.
How up are you on the whole Marvel universe right now?
Oh, none. I'm still anti-superheroes completely. Like, I am so burnt out of anything superhero adjacent, aside from The Boys, because that's a subversion of the superhero genre. So I just like the fact that all the supes are assholes. So,
have you seen Invincible yet? Tried that at all?
I saw the first season and I did not like it.
Really? Okay. All right.
It tries too hard. It tries a little too hard to be edgy and funny, and I'm just, and Seth Rogen being Seth Rogen, so I'm like, he's like forever 14, and at some point when you're like 40 plus, you gotta stop.
Okay. Well, tune into Bandwagon Nerds, and we'll all let you know how we felt about Captain America. I believe we're all going, but a nice thing we like to do over there is what you watch, and tune in Monday morning, and I'll tell you, like I have every week, what I've been watching. But Andrew, outside of wrestling, what have you been watching?
So speaking of bad things that are somewhat superhero adjacent, but I'm just watching it because of not even nostalgia, but just because I was curious where it would go, is Dragon Ball Daima, which is the, you know what Dragon Ball Z is, correct? I know you're not an anime aficionado.
Oh, Tony was like, oh, Spurs Celtics are on my TV.
Correct. So, it is...
Where's Ray? Where's Ray? Where's Ray? He's an anime guy.
So the creator of Dragon Ball Z
died
last year.
Oh,
but
sorry.
This was the last series that he worked on.
Sorry
so
to hear
I was
that.
Curious where he was going with it, is all.
Sorry to
and
hear.
It's,
sorry to hear about that. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know him personally. Like, we weren't best friends. It's fine, but
I
was.
Yeah, I was kind of being a dick.
I know you were. That's why I just reacted the way I did. So, I was curious where it was going, and it's trying to be cute and funny and irreverent, and it's failing at every turn. So, like, I kind of punish myself to watch it because it is a steaming pile of shit that I hate every second of. But, you know, it's kind of funny. It's not even a hate watch because I started watching it because I wanted to like it, and then my wanting to like it had me point out more things that I hated about it. So now I just have to get through it because it's on like episode 16 out of 20 or some shit like that. So I just have to finish it.
This feels like a perfect segue into how people hate watch wrestling.
Well, yeah, and then let's see. I finished season 2 of Squid Game. I liked it. It wasn't the same as season 1, but I didn't dislike it. There's just a lot of I don't like shows that do to be continued and like halfway through it and like wait for season 3 and it's like fuck you, that is such a cheap hook just to be like, oh well, we're only going to tell you half the story now, wait 6 months for the other half, fuck you when you're still wait 6 months. I used to like Barry a lot too for the same thing, but the fact that it took a fucking year or two to fucking get a new season of Barry,
well,
I'm like fuck you.
that was the, you know, built-in safety kind of blanket with television, is you knew the seasons, you knew when they were going to be gone, you knew they were going to come back, you knew when the holiday they're going to be gone for a little bit, you know. But that's all right, streaming is, it's changing. Look at how Netflix has all this live entertainment and things of that nature. It's turning,
but they still do the by season shit for the new shows, so it's like, oh well, if the season doesn't do good, it's not getting a second season, and then they don't film the second season until after they get answers on the first season, so then everything takes fucking forever to get done, and then you start noticing, hey, yeah, why does this guy look 35 when they're supposed to be 19? Oh, because it took a decade to get from season 1 to season 6. Cobra Kai, I'm looking at you.
Yeah, that's just the way it is.
It's stupid. Like, they seriously just need to give some of these places like 2 or 3 season deals so we can get a good chunk of information to work off of.
But that's the thing, they don't have to, because they have so much content
right.
that they yes. do. It's just not necessary for them.
But you know what could be a good concept to that? Is because of the fact that there's 97 fucking thousand different streaming services, that people aren't going to pay $10 for every fucking streaming service, because that's more expensive than cable then. If you've got Netflix and Hulu and, okay, Disney Plus and Hulu are now combined, but then there's Paramount Plus and then there's Peacock and then there's YouTube TV and then there's this. And then, oh God, maybe you like music, so there's Spotify Premium or YouTube Premium. You know, fuck all of this. Cable used to have all of this together for much cheaper. So really, they've just subsidized cable, and people are too stupid to understand that you're paying $150 for what you'd normally pay $90 for. Think about it. Cable had MTV, Fuse, VH1, and depending on if you had satellite, Fios, Dish Network, or whatever, you'd also have the random like XM music channels, you know. So you'd get music, you'd get television, you'd get news, all this other shit that you pay 7 different fucking apps for. Stupid as fuck.
So do you want to, I'm not going to tell you.
How many
how
different
much?
Streaming
no,
services
no, no.
that
no,
you
have? No, I'm going to tell you that. I'm not going to. Hold on. Here we go. Okay. So
are these all legitimate streaming services that you pay for? Or are you doing nefarious means for a couple where you share?
No, I have 8.
8.
Yep.
Is 8
and,
separate ones?
Yep, and DirecTV.
And DirecTV.
Mm-hmm.
So you're paying for cable to DirecTV cable. Just work with me.
And
internet, 8
yeah.
streaming services.
Netflix, Prime, Max, Peacock, Disney Plus, Hulu, Paramount Plus, and Apple TV.
Is your Wi-Fi, is your internet involved with your dish or your TV?
Yeah.
So, do you pay, like, what, $200 for entertainment a month?
I said I would tell you what I had.
Okay, yeah, you did. But just me using rough, just it's Jersey numbers, so maybe it's a little more affordable in the Midwest. But, like, that's insane, because 8 different streaming services, they're all, like, roughly $10. Some are a little more, some are a little less if you have ads or don't have ads or blah, blah. But that's $80 right there. Cable with Wi-Fi is over 100 most places if you have decent Wi-Fi. So, yeah, that's insanity if you really boil it down.
You know what, though?
I'm not saying it's just you. I'm not saying there's a problem with you. But the fact that that is the norm is problematic in general.
It is. It is. And I'll be honest with you, a couple of those are shared, right?
But so you pay for it, but you share it with other people?
I would say I pay for 5 of them.
Oh, see, that's why I was
but
asking
I meant
if it was nefarious sharing.
But there, no, it's not.
Nefarious means.
It's not.
Nefarious means, look at that.
It's not, because certain ones you can pay enough to have a certain amount of users. So when you asked me if it was all paid for,
you even do
it
the
is
bonus
all
user thing?
Paid for. Yeah.
Oh, my God, you're such a goody-goody.
I am.
Good God, you don't just be like, okay, you get, like, what, I think 2 users free? You don't just go, all right,
listen,
I'll use profile 1 here, buddy, you used to.
But here, you know, the more you stand for, the less you fall for, my friend.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress Hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Stand up for your rights.
For your right to party. P-A-R-T-Y. Uh-huh. Because I gotta.
Yeah, but like I said, I wasn't saying there's anything wrong with you, but the fact that that's normal nowadays is insane.
It is.
People used to complain about cables too expensive, and now you pay twice as much for less. Because you can't watch eight different streaming services at once.
It's true. Here's the funny thing, though. You want to know what I find myself watching more than almost anything else nowadays besides...
Porn.
No, that doesn't take that long. besides, like,
you're honest, at least that's good.
If you're good, if you're good at it and you're by yourself, what are you taking forever for? You know. But here's the thing.
Sometimes you like to tease yourself. You know, maybe that's what you're into.
I
don't kick shame. I judge.
You know, I'm working on a good bit for that, for some material for doing stand up. But anyway, like between DirecTV and the streaming services, more than anything nowadays, I would say the largest chunk of my viewing is on free YouTube. Free YouTube.
Same.
Like I watch 2 hours of Kill Tony every single week.
I usually catch it through like Facebook Reels and YouTube Shorts, but same concept where it's just a lot of what I watch is just free shit on YouTube, and right. I skip through the ads if possible, and like, you know, just deal with it. So that's why I only have. Personally, I only have Netflix. I canceled my cable a while ago, you know, so I don't pay for that. And then I watch stuff on Hulu, but I'm not the one that pays for that. So that's good.
There you go. All right, folks, we have not taken a single commercial or talked to you at all about the Chair Shot or the chairshot.com. So let me tell you about that.
This is Oblong Ball Foot Show Premium. That's why you don't get commercials.
Let me tell you about that right now. Why don't you do yourself a favor? Head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Check it out. Plenty of great, awesome, cool designs that will get you noticed. Makes a great gift as well. That's prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. And always use your head. Head on over to thechairshot.com. Plenty of great articles, opinion, analysis, great event coverage. If you're looking to catch up on something you missed, whether it's WWE, AEW, TNA, or New Japan, Stephen Mitchell and Andrew Belaz got you covered. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Oblong Ball Foot Show, one for the road here, I think. Let me put the caveat
that
in there.
That could just be the name of the show instead of the segment.
What?
It is supposed to be the last one. One for the road.
One for the road.
It's not terrible for a last call show.
Yeah. It would just be wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Update me on TNA since we've had the big pay-per-view. I haven't really been paying attention. I've been busy. I've been drinking.
You watched the live show, didn't you?
No, I ended up not.
Oh, I thought you watched the live show after
Genesis. No, I don't know what happened, because we record on Thursdays, and then I'm pretty drunk, so I probably didn't remember.
I thought I watched
the one before that was taped.
So, the fun parts are, let's see. We know JDC was on NXT, almost beat up fucking marker face fucking Pillman Jr., I hate the way he looks. Whoever told him that's a good look needs to be shot in the fucking head.
I agree.
Unless it's for heat, then that's fine.
But
he still looks stupid.
Yeah, with you and me, it's like we don't dislike it because we're supposed to. We dislike it because it turns us off from wanting to view the product.
Correct. And I like Pillman Jr. I've liked Pillman Jr. since he was in MLW.
I don't know if you followed or not. I'm very indifferent on him. Except for the way he looks. It's stupid, period.
Correct. I mean, this isn't TNA, but it is relevant to when we're talking about this. Ricky Starks debuting on NXT was big news.
Huge. I don't know if there was a middleman on that. I don't even think there needed to be. I think both sides knew that the other side wanted to be doing business with the other side. I think WWE knew. I think Ricky knew that WWE wanted him, you know, and good for him. He's the most interesting one. I'm thrilled Penta's there, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of great things for him to happen. But I think it's going to be really interesting to see what kind of polish they could put on down in NXT before he comes up to the main WWE style, and see where his ceiling could possibly be.
Ricky doesn't need a lot of polish. Ricky's good. The only thing I think he needs is a little bit of reestablishment.
He needs the
He's been off TV so long.
That, yeah, but I mean, I still think, you know, he still needs a little WWE polish.
I know what you mean. I'm just, in general, I don't think Ricky is that rough. I think he's ahead of where Ethan Page was when Page came over.
Oh, God, yes.
Like, Page is a gimmick. That's all. He's a dickish character. Shrug.
I like him more than Lexus King, right? That's a stupid fucking name, too.
Pillman Jr.'s name, yes.
Not in love with that either. I like him more than him, but no one down there is really driving me crazy. There's two guys that I think are huge talents that'll be over when they come up.
You better say Oba Femi.
I was gonna say Oba and Trick. I've been on Trick for a while. Like, I've been on Trick when Mello was still down there and they were just starting to do their thing, and I would say, and I wasn't the NXT watcher guy, and it would come up in conversations, and I'd be like, man, I think Trick's going to be way bigger than that, dude, and people would disagree with me. And now I would say, after having Mello up on the main roster for a little bit, Trick is going to be a bigger star on the main roster than Mello. I think Mello is very much just a mid-card guy up there.
Yeah, I mean, my only issue with Trick is I feel like Trick is carried a little bit by his Whoop That Trick song and the chant that goes along with it. So I'm not 100% sold on him, but I also don't disagree with you because I wasn't that big of a fan of Mello. So, like, he's kind of just there.
Right.
But, yeah, so that was our NXT portion of TNA talk. And bring that up because it's NXT TNA.
It's true. It is.
NXT TNA. So
it really is. I love that, too, by the way.
Grace is on it all the time. Fraxium's defended the title twice. The Nemeths are... I feel like that's going to... Like, Ryan's going to piss off Nick too much very soon. And then that's just going to end up in a feud because Ryan's screwed up quite a lot. And I like the gimmick of him being the whiny little brother and referring to Nick as like the big brother, and it's so cringy, it's catchy, but it's also easy to see where it's going.
All right.
And then, well, you know, Hendry's still Hendry. I don't know. Hendry didn't say, I'm not gonna say he got stale or anything like that, but like they haven't given him anything to really bite into.
It's another guy I don't predict a gigantic main roster future for Joe Hendry.
You mean in WWE?
Right.
Oh, I do. He's got size. He's got a look. He can talk. He's got an accent. So if this was Vince's WWE, that would be a turnoff. But people like he's organically over in a, if you really want to look at it, because people like him. People like his song. That's why he got so high in Spotify. That's why he's going to be performing in Eurovision for the UK. You know what I mean? So, like, you got to give him some credit for organically getting over.
Listen, obviously, people behind the scenes on the main roster believe in him more than I do right now, considering the interaction he had at the Royal Rumble, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just being honest about...
Especially Sheamus.
I'm just being honest about how I feel about him. Right now, he doesn't pass the smell test to me. Now, have I been completely wrong about people in that way in the past? 100%. Like, when Rhea first came up to the main roster, I thought she was dog shit, and may very well could have been in other people's eyes as well. She wasn't that great when she came up from NXT on the main roster, but she grew into it with a lot of good feuds and a lot of good learning.
She changed her gimmick a lot too.
She did. She did.
When she came over with Mae Young was different than she was in NXT UK, and then different when she came up. So
you never know. You never know. He just doesn't do it for me right now.
I think you'll change on him, but I think TNA needs to do him a service by giving him a good feud. And currently they're not, because like the live show, Matt Cardona came back to challenge. Who gives a fuck about Cardona? Cardona's day in the sun is over and done with. I don't care about Deathmatch King, indie fucking garbage. Fuck you, Cardona. Like, you don't sell shit to me. Like,
you agree with me that if Matt Cardona would stop talking about a WWE comeback, he might have already had a WWE comeback?
I feel like Heath Slater is a better comeback than Mid Cardona, because I hate his face, and not even from like the heel. He wants to be punchable kind of thing. Like, he doesn't talk well. He doesn't really wrestle super well. He wrestles very slow in that safe Vince WWE style, which is boring. And I don't get why people think he's still over. Is he still over in indies? Sure, because it's the indies, and anybody with any kind of fame is over in the indies. Was he over in NWA? Of course, because the NWA is garbage, and anybody's with a little bit of stock is over in NWA. Look at EC3. EC3 is damaged goods, and he's still one of their biggest names. Tyrus was their champion for like almost a fucking year, so NWA doesn't count. TNA needs to just cut bait with Cardona. The Steph DeLander thing with Mance Warner, I'm happy that Mance Warner's in TNA, because Mance Warner's great. I love his little like rednecky like psychopath pseudo Stone Cold kind of gimmick. But Steph DeLander, I don't know. Like, ever since her like little fake injury thing that she pulled off, and now this, like, she kind of irritates me. So, and TNA's in a weird spot. Like, they've got a lot of moving pieces. They've got a lot of things that could be good, but I feel like there's too much emphasis on how weak the roster is. Like, the Knockouts division is garbage right now. So if Cora Jade wasn't trying to feud with Masha and bring over the NXT influence into TNA, their Knockouts would be unwatchable. Like, NXT literally does have like the best women's division at the moment. So if we could get Stephanie Vacher or like a Julia moment or Roxy or even Lola Vice or, you know, fucking what's it, Jada Parker?
Jada,
I think,
Parker.
You know, any of them, like if any of them could come over, or if one of the TNA Knockouts could do something with them, that would be fantastic.
The
Knockouts are awful right now. Holy shit.
The NXT women's division is in a place right now where, similar to where the NXT men's division was when people first started coming in, that weren't rookies. Like,
you mean the Seth Rollins era of
I'm
NXT?
Talking,
or
like,
what,
right
what
after that. Right after that. I'm talking like Sammy, KO, Shinsuke, Adam Cole, like that whole run right there.
Okay.
Where there's so many really good people that have already shown you they can accomplish stuff outside of the WWE. And, you know, these women aren't as established as a lot of these guys were that came in at that time, but I feel like it's as loaded as that. And a lot of these women have done really well for themselves already outside companies.
Mm-hmm. And it's got to be saying something that, you know, Julia's already a champion, which is,
well, she was,
slightly unprecedented.
She's ready to go. Asuka.
Asuka didn't get it that quickly, I don't think. Like, she had the undefeated streak, but I feel like it started off a little slower for her. Kairi, there was a struggle. Io, I don't think they crowned right away. But I think Julia got the push a bit quicker than everybody else.
It just made sense, though, I think.
I think Roxy's title reign just went a little long.
Well, right.
And
I think
Julia was the one that made the most sense to drop it to.
And maybe they were expecting her to come in earlier, right? Like, it makes sense.
Oh, they were, because she got hurt.
Right. It makes
sense. And then had to fulfill a couple dates in Japan.
The Roxy Rob is great, considering she's main roster bound and going to be one of the top ones up there as well. You know,
oh, Roxy's so amazing.
Yeah.
Roxy is fantastic.
Set the record for most, or she had the most time in the Women's Rumble this past year. It might be the record ever for the most time in the Women's Rumble.
I don't know, but I know she's the Iron Woman for this Rumble.
Yeah.
But since we're talking wrestling, the releases could be good for TNA, because if Blair Davenport or Bea Priestley, whatever you want to call her, ends up going to TNA,
so
that would be good for the Knockouts.
That's interesting, right? Isn't that the most interesting thing now with this TNA partnership and WWE releases? Are they going to be
people end up in TNA, so well, they're still in WWE?
Or is there going to be like an agreement with WWE, like a side kind of handshake deal where it's like, we don't want this person involved at all, or you, if you want, you can have this person, right? Is there going to be like labels put on certain people, like, hey, we cut this person, we don't want them in TNA either, because they almost have control of over TNA in a way, if you think about it. Not really, but like, it's like, hey, you know,
no, I get what you're saying. If they like, even mention, we'd like it if you didn't
right.
sign this person.
It's like,
yeah.
Hey Canada,
you know, don't bite the hand that feeds you.
You don't want to be the 51st state. No, maybe we don't sign that guy. We're not telling you what story. We're not telling you what storyline to use or whatsoever. But you know, don't we want that person to go completely outside of us right now?
No, I get you, and I don't think Priestley is part of that, because I don't think she had heat. I just think they didn't have direction for her.
No, this is just something that came up in my mind. It was not,
oh, no,
not
I
specific
think you
to
have
any
valid
of those people.
Reasoning, right? Yeah. So I think B. Priestley, Blair Davenport, whatever you want to call her, could end up in TNA, and that'd be great for the Knockouts. Isla Dawn, I think, was recently added to the fired list. Isla could be good in TNA. I'd like to see the Good Brothers back in TNA, just because I think we are going to get AJ at some point, and that almost makes too much sense just to make sure they're in TNA for one last like AJ moment.
That could be a while, though, because I think we're getting Braun Breaker and AJ Styles at WrestleMania for the IC title.
Oh, I didn't say it's happening in 10 minutes, but like I feel like if it's going to happen, it's going to happen at like a Slammiversary or a Bound for Glory or something to make it special. Especially since AJ Francis, Top Dollar, already likes to really emphasize that it's going to be the new era of TNAJ. So I think that's going to get enough like momentum that if it even picks up a little bit, that's going to be the trigger to then Get Ready to Fly is going to kick in. And then Styles is going to show up. And then we're going to find out who the real AJ is for TNA. I think that's kind of where it's at. Now, that would be like the intro thing, and then maybe he gets one shot at whoever the champion is. But I also still like my headcanon of Cena going over to TNA, beating Hendry for the title, and then that's technically Cena's 17th.
There's no way in hell.
I'm just saying.
There's not a chance in hell. Dan and I
don't want to see Cena win.
Dan and
one
I
of the
already
WWE titles,
here's
but I
the
could
deal.
See him winning the TNA one.
So Dan and I already called this like 2-3 months ago, maybe a little less time than that. And with the announcement of likely there being a Ruthless Aggression pay-per-view in Boston in December of 2020 of
this
year.
Oh, that's obviously Cena. Yeah.
So when this all came up and they were like, "Yep, the year and everything," and Dan and I were like, after his first promo, the one that even was before the year started, I think. And he talked about all these different ways he could break the record, or all these different ways he could get to WrestleMania. And if not, he wants to break the record. And there's this, that, you know, there's the Rumble, there's Elimination Chamber, there's Money in the Bank, yada, yada, yada. Dan and I kind of immediately, while podcasting, looked at each other in talking about this and said, he's going to lose. He's just going to keep losing all these opportunities. He just told you all these times he's going to lose.
Yeah.
And then finally he gets his one shot after winning whatever he needs to win in the fall, however they run the storyline. He wins his 17th title in December, retires, and they can have a 3-month-long tournament for the title that culminates in a WrestleMania championship match, you know, or they can just have it up for grabs at the Royal Rumble.
And, I mean, I get that, and if WWE was more insulated, I wouldn't disagree with you. But because of all the ways they're branching out, be it Noah or TNA, or they even technically have a AAA angle now if they wanted to, because TNA has the partnership with AAA. So, and, you know, Penta has history there too. So we could see something where maybe Cena's 17th is not a WWE title, which I think that'd be interesting because they're already acknowledging TNA, NOAH, New Japan accomplishments on commentary. So if they acknowledge it for Hall of Fame, because NWA titles for Flair, all that other shit, you know.
They don't count a lot of those for Flair. Flair would be like 20-time champ if they counted everything.
But they still count. Well, he only was what, a 2-time WWE champion. His NWA titles were like 7 or 8.
But
and then he won like what?
But that's like
3, 4, or 5 in WCW when it was Big Gold.
No,
so
it's way
they
that.
Count a lot of NWA. You know what I'm? They pick and choose because they also have Harley Race as a NWA champion because I don't think he ever won the WWF title. You know what I mean? So they pick and choose when they count other promotion titles.
As
and
far as the record
ball
goes,
with TNA now.
Yeah, I don't. I just don't see it. I just don't see it. The WWE championship record was broken with a TNA title win is never fucking happened.
Because Ric Flair is not a 16-time WWE champion.
But John Cena is.
Correct, but the record is Ric Flair is a 16-time world champion. They don't say WWE.
I think it's
with
the
WCW. They don't say global, they don't say universal.
I think it's under the WCW guys, though.
Sure, and that's where Crockett eventually went to when it was NWA, then it was Crockett, but still, I'm just saying, because there's NWA titles that they could acknowledge, they don't, and some of it's just Vince being difficult back in the day, and now Hunter's a different person, so it would be funny. It would be cute.
Okay,
I'm not mad at it.
Here we go. WWE recognizes Ric Flair as a 16-time World Heavyweight Champion, which includes 2 WWF championships, 7 WCW championships, and 7 NWA championships. Flair has claimed to be a 21-time champion.
Even the NWA doesn't count some of them because he like dropped it 1 or 2 times to Inoki in Japan, and then I think he dropped it in Korea or something like that at some point, and then got it back the next day, and they don't count some of that stuff. But my point is, that's 3 different companies, technically. Yes, they all fall under the WWE umbrella now.
I'll give you, in a way,
so does TNA.
I'll give you 100-to-1 odds.
Oh, I'm not saying that it's guaranteed.
No, it's
I just
not
going to be funny.
I think there's 0% chance that would happen.
I think there's a 1% chance
because
no one expects it.
I can get on board with your 1%. I thought you were going to be up somewhere around 33.
No.
Okay, God, thank God.
If,
all right.
If it's not Philadelphia adjacent, I'm not an idiot. I don't really have a bias. I just hate Philadelphia. Everything else I can look at objectively.
Fair enough.
So I think there's a 1% chance if the story just mashes up, because Hendry and Cena have that similar kind of like snarky baby face tweener kind of thing where Cena could rap at Hendry and Hendry could just do a parody song.
Well,
and that would be fun. That would be funny. That would be entertaining as fuck for a couple weeks.
Cena can get over with anybody. I just I'm not a Hendry guy.
In a vacuum is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Fair enough. I mean, some people will tell you he's going to win the Elimination Chamber and he's going to face Cody Rhodes. Maybe he does and then loses, right? Who knows? I just think he keeps coming up short until December. That's all I'm saying.
I just don't like it being that he gets it at the last shot. I feel like that's a little silly. Because failing for like the last, 5 years or whatever it's been? Because isn't he on like a 4 or 5 year losing streak that he hasn't won a match since like before COVID? Or some shit like that.
It might be like 10 years.
But you get what I'm saying. Like, I'm being the fact that I don't watch WWE super like religiously like many other people on this network do. Like, I'm at least aware that Cena hasn't won a match in a long time.
But here's the thing. If you get down to that last thing, like, I finally got my shot and this is it. My time's up. You know, it's now or never. But our people would still go, you would still question whether or not he's going to win in December.
You would, the same way you questioned if John Wayne was going to win in his last movie, but the old gunman died. So I think if he's going to win one more, it makes sense to be one of these umbrella friendship titles. Be it Noah, be it TNA, be it. I don't think it's going to be Noah, because that's a little too far stretching. But I feel like TNA has just maybe a little bit enough relevance to the situation that maybe we could see something there if the story is correct.
I think he wins the 17th, and I think it's the World Heavyweight, the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, because he hasn't had that one. And that day you can put his name on the lineage of that title. That boosts the lineage of that title. He's held the other one, God knows how many, 15 times, 14 times.
You're not wrong there. This isn't really me arguing it.
No.
I'm just saying, I don't like the concept of last chance he gets it type thing. Like, that just feels played out. Because if you think about all of the other greats, they tried, but they never accomplished it. Kobashi came back from cancer, and they didn't gift him a title. Like, he went for a title and lost. But it was a big thing that he came back from cancer, you know, and he was healthy. So if there's so many of these other people that tried and failed, what makes him special? Aside from whoever's booking can just say he is, obviously. But I don't like that. I like him getting a couple wins to get momentum and then making people believe he'll get it and then lose unless it's not a WWE title.
I think another thing it could accomplish is another straw in his hat to being the greatest WWE superstar of all time, especially with the fact that none of us want to see Hulk Hogan anymore or even hear about him.
I mean, that's subjective. That's a Philadelphia thing right there. Because, like, Hogan still put WWF on the map. Without Hogan, the wrestling wouldn't be where it is now. And technically, Roman's done the most box office out of anybody. So, and Stone Cold was the most over at the time when wrestling was the most over. So, if you look at it,
but
what makes Cena the greatest when he doesn't have any of those peaks? He just has a number of somebody decided to book him to get another piece of metal. Continue.
So there's the Attitude Era, and there's I don't love the name of it, but the Renaissance Era, they're calling it, right?
Is that what now is?
Yeah.
I haven't heard that.
Yeah.
And Cena was on top during the PG era, which
but
is...
you're stepping on me. Let me finish it. You're stepping
fine,
on
fine,
me.
Fine, fine, fine.
The bridge between those two eras is John Cena.
Sure.
So you can't blame a guy because he was born at a certain time and he had to bridge the gap between the greatest, possibly in a lot of people's eyes, moments, years in wrestling history, to finally it coming back around to a time where we go, damn, this is kind of what we remember 20-some fucking plus years ago. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Can I ask you this question just to draw an analogy that just came to mind?
I would appreciate
CC Sabathia was a starter.
I would appreciate if you didn't ask me if you could ask a question.
Because I know that's a question, so I was curious how you'd react to it. So CC Sabathia was a starter. He gets starter acclaim. Mariano Rivera was the closer, and he was a damn good closer. He gets closer acclaim. Does anybody remember the bridge guy? Who would pitch 7 and 8? Who would pitch 7 and 8? Tell me that.
In
was he really that good?
Andrew, in this hand, I have an apple. And in this hand, I have an orange. I would love for you to tell me how they're alike.
In this hand, I can have my wishes. And in this hand,
it can
I shit can in. Shit.
Let's see you which one see fills which up one first. Fills yeah, up first. That's my line, asshole. No, I think it's just a fun conversation. Like, I think the main point of this John Cena conversation is he's important he means something. And when he comes around, it means something. And the fact that this is his last time around, it means something. And whether or not you want to say he's the greatest of all time, or you think he's the five moves of doom, you have to recognize that.
No, that's Kevin Nash. Stop it.
You have to recognize those six moves then, whatever.
With the hair flip, yes, he's, I know.
He's one of the greatest needle movers of all time. He's the most accomplished wish granter of all time. And he's done things outside of wrestling that only one other person has done.
I'll put it this way, and I've said it even when he was active. I don't like him as a wrestler. I don't like his gimmick. I was never a John Cena fan. But everything outside of gimmick that he talks and he shows, he seems like he's a really good dude and that type of dude you want to go get a beer with at the bar. Like, he seems cool as fuck. So John Cena the man, I respect. John Cena the wrestler, I could give or take. But I don't disagree with you that he's still important in the eyes of the current fandom, and he had a good place in history when it comes to the overall way you're painting it. But if you look at the highs of things, he's not there for me, which is why I don't think he should get this special treatment of being the fucking, you know, guy that breaks the 17 with, like, his last shot when, you know, John Wayne didn't win his last gunfight. Kobashi didn't win his, you know, his match. Liger didn't win his match, you know, and Flair didn't win his last match, if we don't count what the fuck happened a couple years ago, because nobody does. But, you know, there's so many other things. I don't think he's better than all of the other people mentioned. And I obviously the booker has the final say. So whatever Triple H decides, Triple H decides. So only he knows what's going to happen. But I wouldn't understand it if he went through all of this time of losing for 5 years and then most of this year to just win at the last second. And it just feels overly scripted, which I know wrestling is scripted, but like you need to have a semblance of reality and logic and realism. And having all this failure just to win at the end, that's too Disney shit. That's too fairy tale. That's for children.
And I was going to say, sometimes we all need a fairy tale. Let me leave this topic on this, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
John Cena said he wants to win the 17th record-breaking championship so that he can shake the hand of the person who comes along and breaks his record with the 18th. And in reference to that, Ric Flair said,
I have to announce to you that I will never retire.
Thank you very much, folks. My name is PC Tunney. You can follow me at PC Tunney. You can follow Ray Cash at It's Ray Cash. Andrew Blaz at IWC Board Chief, my friend. Oblong Ball Foot Show / Chairshot NFL. It's going to live on inside of another show. We'd love to tell you the name of that show. We're almost there. We're really close. You'll have to just tune in next week. And we're going to have a brand new show that's going to sound a lot more like this show, only with Ray Cash, so it'll be even better, where we kind of get off the rails on topics. We just take the side roads, right? We're going to have a format that's going to include sports entertainment and sports entertainment, just like the website, but you're going to get it in a way that's completely balls, cash, and pizza. There's nothing else I can say.
Just like a Matryoshka doll.
Yeah. Any last words here on what is likely, I don't want to be a liar again, the last Oblong Ball Foot Show of all time?
No, I kind of liked the little flare drop you did, so that was good.
I appreciate it. All right. Well, till next week, for Andrew Belaz, Ray Cash, and myself, PC Tunney, thank you all for listening to another year of NFL coverage right here on thechairshot.com and Chairshot Radio Network, where we encourage you to always use your head and head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Folks, we appreciate your listenership. We'll talk to you next week under a different show banner.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head. At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See Home Club for details.